Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon show. Andy, tell us what we like this afternoon. We're going to play for the listeners.
Well, we had a chat, as we often do. That was quite a bit of fun. And then, of course, the last hour, we had Martin Kellner. He was on good form with his sport on TV. Todd Macklin and his sports roundup from America. It was fun. I think you'll like that. We hope you will. And Mike Ward with his weekend of non-sporting telly.
Yeah, that's basically it. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And news just emerging. How's your luck? Under the first section, how's your luck? Jack Butland been waiting for a move back to the Premier League for a long time. And it's just been announced, we see on Sky, that he has coronavirus. Poor old Jack Butland. We wish him well. Just back in the Palace, into the Palace setup, looking for game time. But we're going to be talking later on to Eddie Batty, who's currently at Wakefield, rugby league player. Mm. And that's a sport that's had a lot of issues around the virus. A lot of sports have, and more and more are going to get it. It's going to change the landscape, I think, of sport across the world, and possibly skew league tables and cup competitions and everything over the next few months, isn't it?
Definitely. And like I said to you, so many sports people are being tested. I mean, even the referee in the rugby tomorrow, the Exeter...
Wayne Barnes.
Yeah. You know, he's tested positive. You'd imagine that it just shows you how many people have got it. I think he must be asymptomatic because... Well, I don't know that, but I mean, the fact is, you know, going into the game, you'd imagine that he was in a kind of bubble and really careful, and just shows you it's very difficult. Anyway, it is Pelé's birthday, and
it is.
The Moose, he is a piece of work, honestly. He's done it. There are a lot of sporting birthdays today. Mm. Yarmolenko, he's got a photo with him, Josh De Silva.
But there's Alvaro. No doubt in the biggest sporting birthday of the day is Pelé's in the world of sport.
And the best Moose can do is a picture of Pelé and Maradona, where Moose somehow is in the background looking at his phone.
So he's in the presence of the two greatest players in the world as a journalist, and he's looking at his phone.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
I don't know.
Shouldn't he be looking for an exclusive?
He's a piece of
it. It was good, because Max Rushton sent out a picture of him and Pelé to my great friend Pelé. Excuse me, I may have a picture at home with me and Pelé, but it predates the world of the mobile phone, and I don't know where it is, because I told you, in New York, before the provisional sort of World Cup draw, I think in 1991, it would 1992, I think, before they kicked off the qualifying for the World Cup, I went there for the draw, and Pelé was on a bus.
You were important in world football those days.
I was close. Yeah, I he was on a bus near Bloomingdale signing autographs. Well, I think Visa were one of the sponsors, of course, and he was there and signing autographs and talking to people with a kind of World Cup replica. And no one seemed massively fussed outside Bloomington. So I just jumped on the bus and said hello and shook his hand.
It was America, wasn't it, at that point?
And had a picture with him, but I don't know where it is.
Your arm around him?
I don't know if I put my arm. The thing is, the old concept of getting close to Pelé and putting my arm around an 80-year-old man now without a mask on, actually getting within 2 metres of him, is horrendous. But that was pre-COVID.
Now, you just mentioned Bloomingdale's there, and news from another New York department store, Macy's.
Oh, yeah.
It said Santa Claus will not be greeting children this year because of coronavirus. Couldn't he do it behind closed doors?
Well, you can't stand next. He can do it from a distance. If he's got us like a 2 metre North Pole, he can just sort of stand there and say, What do you want for Christmas? definitely. It can work, can't it?
Work.
The thing is, they're quite old, aren't they, Santas? They'd be a bit mutton, couldn't they?
True.
They're going to be sitting there going, eh? Talk a bit louder. Yeah, quite possibly.
True. I've been a Santa in my time.
Really? Well, you kept that quiet. I can't think of, apart from the bloke who was the children's entertainer in Heidi High, I can't think of anybody less suited to be Santa.
Very harsh.
Than you. On many levels, actually, Andy.
Hey.
Yeah.
But
how did you get on as a Santa? Where did you do it? Was it in a department
store?
I did it
at school. I did it at the kids' school. And
I'm not... okay, yeah.
And then I also took part in the... It was Rufus Gordon's dad.
Producing Drive today.
He organised the... it was like a Father Christmas of the Year competition. It was like a race. I think I was the compere.
You did some weird stuff, didn't you, back in the day? Britain's healthiest couple, you were the compere of that.
I know.
You've done some real old stuff.
Me and Wincy
stuff.
Willis.
Yeah. Oh, you've eaten at the top. I remember. Hello, Wincy. Me and... They said we were the new power couple, but it would never work. It would never work, me and Wincy.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, okay.
Goodness sake. Now, of course, I'm a celebrity this year.
Should have done a show with Paul Ince, shouldn't you? Can you
Wincy
put that...
Ince.
That would have been... I can see that daytime.
And Spider-Man.
That would have been very good.
Yeah, it would have worked. Now, top... Not top.
Don't say top.
Top golf club bordering the I'm a Celebrity set has decided that they won't allow golfers to play during the time that the show is on.
Yeah.
And... club members will be, but the pay and play golfers have been given the boot for a month, and only members can tee off while I'm a Celebrity is in town. But the headline's fantastic. It says, "Ant and Dec ban golfers." It's not really them, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose if you're playing the course and they're making I'm a Celebrity next door, and you hit a bit of a, you shank one, and ends up in kind of Unistubbs' bunk, and you can you play from there? I don't know. Can you play from this?
Unistubbs' bunk.
Well, there's your title for the podcast today, if nothing else. Unistubbs' bunk.
I forgot. I was going through my notes last night, and I forgot something from the Liverpool game, which was really amusing. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but James Milner got a late in the game, he got a knock and sort of head injury. And he was a bit shaken up and everything. And the trainer treated him, he got up and everything. And then he poured a drink bottle of water over his head, which would have been fine if it wasn't absolutely pouring down with rain. I've never seen anybody
still
do that.
Still a way of clearing your head, though,
isn't it? I suppose so, yeah.
Mighty Spurs last night. Well done to all the teams in Europe that won, yes. Gritted teeth, even the Arsenal, although they did have to come back.
It's a lot easier, isn't it, the Europa League than...
Well, I think we'll find out in the fullness of time. It wasn't for Celtic, was it, really? But they did have AC Milan to contend.
I watched a bit of that game, and Odson Edward wasn't playing, and they missed him. And the crowd, you know, when they got one back, you could have imagined the crowd at Celtic Park would have absolutely got behind
him
and everything.
No, that would have made a difference.
It was difficult, really. And Milan look all right. Zlatan's fascinating. He still looks good, even at 38, I have to admit
it's impressive.
It's ridiculous. I mean, he set up one goal brilliantly with a classic bit of play. And he's 6'5", but no one ever says about Zlatan, he's got good feet for a big man. You kind of take it as red, don't you? You know he's got good feet.
Yeah, he should be the ultimate from that point of view. Yes, Gareth Bale, you can see that...
Vinicius looks good.
Yeah, he did very well last night, barring that sort of miss at the start. Well, here we go, it's Vincent Janssen the second, but he quickly built
Vinicius
on that.
Vinicius Janssen, he looks much better.
Built on that and played very, very well, and looks a decent loan signing.
He looks stiff, Janssen. When you see a player, they've got something a bit fluid.
Gareth Bale is, you can see, there was one little thing late in the game. He'd been on the pitch for 55 minutes and he tried to push a ball beyond their left back, and the left back sort of caught up fairly easy and put it out into touch. You know, he's not going to be that player, but he reads it well. He can always pick a pass. And it'll be good to watch from that point.
I switched to your game when Mick Jagger texted me. He said, "This could be the last time."
This could be the last time. That's very good. Yeah, thanks very much.
Dele Alli did a flick at the end, though. I thought Jose won't be happy with that, and he lost it. Did you see that?
Well, I thought that was the only one he did, because it was very noticeable last night. He wasn't doing the donkey kicks and the flicks and the back heels. He was doing. He was keeping
that's
it simple.
Good.
And I thought he did well.
Much
when he
better
came.
Idea. Yeah.
Anyway, we move on.
Glenn made the point. Spurs squad is really strong,
pretty deep,
strong.
Which makes a change.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Sure enough, Phil with the Fox, Jeff Peters is listening to us. Good afternoon, Jeff. He says, "Yeah, Vardy could be back. Should train today." Okay. Leicester's last league win at Arsenal was in 1973.
Yes,
so what
it does,
about that?
It does
so that,
sound
that,
like they're
that
not.
Tells you it's with them. Jeff also has a little dialogue with him off air earlier on. He was in the stadium last night for the Leicester Europa League game, and you know, when you watch games without any atmosphere on the telly, it's not great. But he was making the point that, it feels so flat in the stadium. When you're watching a competitive game, it just feels like a training match. It feels like you're watching just a friendly or behind closed doors friendly or a training match. And it must be very weird in the stadium when you're there watching the matches and just trying to even get involved as a journalist when you're reporting on
it. It is frustrating because you're seeing places, even in Belgium, where they're going to have terrible problems with the second wave. They had fans at Liège, didn't they?
That's right.
And this thing that Jim was talking about, Martin Ziegler did it in the paper, this is the maddest thing, that fans would be able to watch West Ham's game in View Cinemas in Westfield, but not in the ground. That just makes absolutely no sense.
Is that any madder than the fact that people watched the Borough game last week from executive suites at the Riverside?
No madder.
But with the curtains closed, so they couldn't actually watch the match.
I can't understand this. If as is said, that it's safer outside, what is the problem with trying it? You know, do some trials, see what happens. You know, keep it low numbers and see what happens with it. Is there any after effects? Is there any spike? These clubs, Henry Winter said it, these clubs are well set up to deal with this. And it just that is a mockery, to have people going to the View Cinema in Westfields and the stadium there with no one in it. It's nonsense.
We got the Fools panel coming up. And if you would like to take on David Prutton, former professional footballer, of course, former Leeds player, will be covering a Leeds game, and now a fine host on Sky. And Joe Shannon, who's representing the commentators. Some good news. We hope to welcome back Motti next week. We very much look forward to that. But Joe has stepped in for Motti once again this afternoon in the Fools panel. These are the games we'd like you to try and guess the scores of. Aston Villa versus Leeds, Manchester United versus Chelsea, and Arsenal v Leicester. So you can give us a call now on 08717 223344. That's 08717 223344. All you got to do is tell us why you think the team's going to win, what the score will be, or draw, etc. And our good friends at Green King will give you a £50 food and drink voucher to spend at any Green King pub just for taking part. You must be over 18 to do that, but if you would like to take part, represent the listeners in the Fools panel, 08717 223344. Call us now, we'll call you back and get you involved in about half an hour's time. Andy?
Yes, more great news from those custodians, those great custodians of the game, IFAB.
Oh, yeah.
They're so fantastic, aren't they? Now they are considering, which is, of course, a very good thing, a trials of additional permanent concussion substitutes, which could begin in January. Nobody would be against that. It's well worth trialing, a very important thing. But isn't it funny how, somehow they can come up with something mid-season? They always, when they've got something horribly wrong, they always hide behind the, we can't change it mid-season. Oh, well, that would change the competitive balance. Well, this would change the competitive balance as well. It's exactly the same thing. But somehow they can find a way of doing it.
Yeah.
Really, that whole organisation needs massive reforming, in my view.
Now, I've got something potentially for the listeners. Leeds players, when they headed back down or back up the motorway after the game at Wembley last week in the Challenge Cup, they stopped off at a motorway services McDonald's, and most of them were still in full kit, or maybe because they just had to get back on and couldn't get showers there or whatever from a COVID point of view. But they were all in full kit, and they all sort of filed in and bought their Big Macs and their quarter pounders with cheese and all that. And fairly bizarre, I would imagine, if you were working in that services. They took the cup in as well with them. It's quite and I was going to say, I was just about to say, wouldn't it have been great for the Leeds fans who are on their way home, but of course there wouldn't have been any there. But it did strike me about some of the things you possibly did when you were in your kit, still in your kit. You played on a Sunday morning, couldn't get a shower for whatever reason, had to get away. So some of the weird and wonderful things you found yourself doing when you were still in your kit, that could be your whites as well, whatever sport you'd played, but still wearing the kit. What did you find yourself suddenly get involved in? Where did you have to go? Let us know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, there's plenty of sport on this weekend, of course, on TV and certainly on TalkSport. And somebody who's been really taking in an awful lot of sport on TV this week joins us now. And it is, of
no
course,
one takes in more.
No one does.
No.
Squad number 9, Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon. It's all absolutely free as well. Absolutely free
to
air.
It is.
Yes. Well, I have been watching a lot this week, to be honest, because what else is there to do sitting here in Tier 2?
In limbo, as Jimmy Cliff once said. That's what you've been up to, isn't it, basically?
More or less.
Yeah.
I know you're always looking for new coinages by pundits and things. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was one of the pundits at Leeds v Wolves earlier in the week. And he described Leeds United as a fresh of breath air.
Yes, it is very good. It's a good one, isn't it?
And I've been watching, on your advice, the Doc Rivers episode of The Playbook.
Yes.
You know, I was talking about this last week. It's The Playbook, A Coach's Rules for Life, which is a series on Netflix.
Yes.
The one with Jose Mourinho, not that enlightening, but, you know, mildly interesting. But you're right, the Doc Rivers one, really good. He was the Boston Celtics and before that LA Clippers coach, basketball coach. But the more you watch these programs, the more you think that basically all coaches have the same trick. You know, if you're a team coach, basically what you're trying to do is build that team ethic into the team, you know, so that players don't play, you improve individuals. But really, you're just trying to get that team mentality in, which, you know, you watch Jose, it's the same thing, really, as Doc Rivers. And they all have, I mean, what's interesting about the program is they all have different tricks to do it. And Doc Rivers has this thing called Ubuntu, which you, did you two see that?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
It's, I thought that part of it was fascinating, actually.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. It reminded me a bit of the hacker, in a way, you know, using a sort of cultural icon, if you like, to try and build the team ethic. Ubuntu is a Zulu. It comes from the, it's a shortening of the Zulu phrase, Umuntu, Gumuntu, Gabantu, which it'll startle you to learn I had to look up.
Yeah.
He does explain this. He says, I can't be the best I can be until you're the best you can be. I mean, that's fairly logical, isn't it?
It is, and literally it means I am because you are. And obviously it was people like Archbishop Desmond Tutu and others adopted this phrase, if you like. And and Doc Rivers was saying, so our team started living Ubuntu, which, you know, didn't really change the way of life. But what it did was it built this solidarity of the squad. And that's what it was all about.
It says a lot about him, though, Martin, that he could get these guys to buy into it. You know, basketball teams are very small teams and they've got great individuals in them. So to get...
And they signed these three players that he had to sort of incorporate. They all wanted the ball. They all wanted to be the star, which is why I think he came up with that thing. I found that really interesting.
Yeah, that takes a lot. I mean, it takes a lot to do that, to get them to buy into that. And not because, you know, there could be players who might just see that as jargon. They might not buy into the philosophy, but those guys did. And it supposedly says a lot about them as much as him, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's what I've always said about coaching, and that is that you have to be slightly mad. And the more, you know, the more slightly mad you are, if you like, I mean, I'm not a mental health professional, but the more sort of bananas you are in some way, I think the more the more players will buy into it. You look at the great coaches, you know, Brian Clough, we've got Bielsa these days.
Got a touch of madness about them.
Yeah. They absolutely do.
Yeah.
And of course, very interesting, that great comeback, Celtics versus the Lakers, when Jack Nicholson, just before they did the great comeback, Jack Nicholson said, we're dead men walking, because of course he's a big Lakers fan, isn't he? They've got the big celebrity fan base there. And what a fantastic comeback that was. Probably the greatest comeback in sport, apart from obviously from West Ham at Spurs.
It took a whole 5 minutes longer than I thought, really.
But I think also a very interesting part of that documentary was the fact that he was the coach of this team. He just got there and the owner was a terrible racist. He basically got caught out and he had to deal with that and
Donald
deal
Sterling,
with, you know, they were right in the middle of the playoffs, weren't they? They hadn't just joined the team. They were right in the middle of the playoffs. Right. And, you know, that was a really tough thing for him to have to deal with. I thought he handled it brilliantly.
He did. I mean, that was unbelievable, the tape that emerged of what, you know, I mean, it wasn't even under the counter racism. It was, you know, your face racism.
Yeah.
It was full on.
Yeah. So they're all 35 minutes long. They're a series on different coaches. Now, very entertaining. So they're on Netflix, available on Netflix. And you've been watching some 10-pin bowling, Martin, aren't you?
Yeah, well, this is on the Weber Cup, or the Weber Cup, whatever it's called. Bet Victor Weber Cup has been on in the afternoons. And sometimes I need a snooze in the afternoon. And I've reached that stage.
Surely the pins wake you up when they sort of rattle.
Clattering down.
Well, no, it's soporific because... basically, most of these guys can get a strike nearly every time.
Yes.
And what they do is they spin the ball so it looks like it's going down the gully at the side. And then it spins in and hits the front pin side on, which, you know, which is what you have to do. So it's just a sort of very repetitious. The
USA, is it the gully or the gutter? I never know.
I always call it the gully myself, but I might be wrong.
I might have said the gutter myself, actually.
The gutter.
I'm not an expert. It's many years since I've played.
Clearly. So is this an American tournament or British tournament or a European?
No, it's an international. It's the big tournament. It's the big one, the Weber Cup, Europe versus the USA. It's the 10-pin bowling equivalent of the Ryder Cup.
Oh, okay.
But I don't count anything as a sport if you have to leave your shoes in a little box. But it's fun in the afternoon.
I always wanted to just take a really terrible old pair of shoes and then
walk out looking like...
I used to like those red and blue...
Looking like a member of the Style Council. Wandering the streets in your bowling shoes. That's a nice look. Yeah, that's... that must happen now and again. I mean, have you ever seen anybody in a pair of bowling shoes wandering the streets of Leeds, Martin, or...?
Not that I can remember. Okay. Recently, it's very difficult to tell because often people have got a shell suit down over the top of their shoes.
Of course. Got to live there. You said it.
Yes. No. Another pro. I'm only joking. Another pro. If we're on the subject of racism, there's a program called Forbidden Games, which I think one of your listeners recommended to me. The Justin Fashion News story.
Oh yes, I've seen this. Yeah.
Have you seen it? Yes. It was originally released in 2017. I never saw it. It's on Netflix now. You've got to look for it, but it's on there. Forbidden Games is a Justin Fashion News story. Got to be very careful you don't get Forbidden Games, the 1952 French war drama, directed by René Clément. But if you do get this Justin Fashion News is the great Greek tragedy of British football. It's three stories in one, really. For a start, it tells you about the experience of being a black footballer in Britain in the 1970s, which was certainly no picnic, absolutely. I mean, even after this time, it still makes your mind boggle when you see some of the scenes of racism that we had and that footballers had to live with in the 70s. So you've got the racism angle, obviously the homophobia angle to the story, which sort of comes in later on. But also, there's a very interesting family angle to it.
The interviews with John are quite painful for him, you can tell, can't you, really?
Absolutely. And they do interview everybody who is in any way connected. You know, Glenn Hoddle's interviewed on it, Joe Royal, who was a teammate of Justin Fashion News at Norwich.
Yeah.
And just the whole thing about two black boys being brought up in a little village in, you know, when they were fostered, a little village in Norfolk, the only black kids in the village, very much so. And all that is interesting. The sibling rivalry between John and Justin and the abandonment that they went through. If you've not seen it, of all the stuff I've watched recently on... I'm going to say I missed out on it when it came out in 2017, but of all the stuff I've seen on Netflix recently... Probably about the most touching, and as it is black, like, you know, all the channels are doing, it's Black History Month, and they're doing sort of little bumpers between the ad breaks about that. But if you really do want to know a little bit about black history in the UK, as well as, of course, all the other stuff about Justin Fashion News, well worth watching that programme called Forbidden Games.
Sounds good. Co-produced by a friend of the show, Adam Dark. That's how when we first spoke about it, when it was first made, and it was on BT then, but now available on Netflix, so people should go and check it out.
Definitely.
Martin, you're back tonight, I take it, on Talk Radio and Talk Sport simulcasting.
Yeah, it's all free. I'll be free to air.
Well, you didn't charge for it.
And the equipment sounding good, Martin.
Is equipment sounding all right? Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
They often test the line at 1 o'clock in the morning. I found out this from BT. Yeah. If they're doing any upgrades, they do them at 1 o'clock in the morning when nobody's supposed to be listening.
Apart from you, the only one who's working.
Yeah, and I told them that. I said there are people in Kuala Lumpur who are dying to hear at 1 o'clock in the morning. But there you go.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're watching a bit of IPL, Andy and I, at the moment. And it's Chennai Super Kings versus Mumbai Indians.
I never smoke anything else.
And Chennai
are 5 for 4. They were 3 for 4 just now. Again, absolutely gubbed, aren't
Donny
they?
And Jadeja probably have never been in the third. Oh, blimey. That was nearly out again.
It's not going to last long, is it, this? Blimey. Anyway.
Boomer is the best white ball bowler, I think, in the world. Yeah. Fantastic bowler.
Anyway, on to American sports. Todd Macklin joins us as always. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, boys.
Well, the World Series is underway, Dodgers versus the Rays, and it's one apiece as they stand.
It certainly is, and this is kind of the David and Goliath World Series. You've got the L.A. Dodgers, the second highest payroll this year, only to the New York Yankees. So the Dodgers spend about $107 million on their payroll this year, and you got the Tampa Bay Rays, third from the bottom, so 28th out of 30 teams in payroll. They spend about $28 million. So kind of that's been the focus, right? The Dodgers, the big spending, famous Dodgers, and the little Tampa Bay Rays. And as you said, they're a game apiece after two games. And if you look at the stats will tell you when the World Series has been split one game apiece, there's a 47% chance this is going to a seventh game in the World Series, which I think we're all hoping for. Game sevens are big deals. So they are that even. It's funny, the discrepancy in how much is spent on the teams, but they are that even through two games. And they're, listen, they are that even. I think the Dodgers, you would say, have a better lineup, better hitters, but the Rays probably have better pitching. And we'll see in the end who's going to win out.
Has there been any adjustment for sort of traveling? I mean, it's not in a bubble, is it? Major League Baseball.
They're playing at in Texas, playing at Texas Rangers. Right. They're playing in Arlington, aren't they?
Yeah, that would make sense. Otherwise, they're going to have to.
They're playing all the games. That's right, Todd, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So they started with the division series round when they went to the best of the five. They moved into bubbles. So they played in Los Angeles, San Diego, and then they played in Houston and then Texas. And they've had the World Series now in Texas. And, yeah, they didn't play the season in the bubble, right? And we talked, guys, throughout the season. They had some cases. They had, you know, whether it was the Miami Marlins, the St. Louis Cardinals, where they missed about a week of games and had to postpone them. They didn't want to take the chance of that happening when they got down to the playoffs. So they put them in the bubble. And so far, we've not had any incidents. It's just, listen, what we've talked about all along, too. You miss the atmosphere of a crowd, a home crowd at a World Series. It's missing. The players have talked about it. You know, we've talked about watching on TV. But listen, this is what it is, and you got to do the best you can.
Now, a bit of controversy, because often the thing that's aimed at Americans, you like their baseball, you're people are saying, well, why'd you call it the World Series? It's only played in America. And they say, well, that's where you're wrong, mate, because it's named after the New York World newspaper that sponsored the baseball final in those days. And then you obviously feel a bit of an idiot. But the New York Times have started to look into this for some reason, have discovered that New York World was never a sponsor of the World Series.
Was it fake news?
Well, it was fake news, apparently. So basically America do call it that, even though they're only playing in America.
You are correct, yes. That the only connection the New York World newspaper had to baseball in the World Series at that time is they covered it, right? It had nothing to do with them. And, you know, there are reports that it dates back to, you know, one of the owners of the Pittsburgh Pirates at the time. They played in the first World Series against the Boston Red Sox. The Pirates were the champs of the National League, the Red Sox the champs of the American League. And the thought was that, hey, we've got these two champions of different leagues. Let's, you know, play against each other and call it something big. And, you know, I can see it at the time. I'm sure people in America thought they were the only ones playing baseball. You know, there was a thought that they invented the game. So I don't see any, you know, it's not a stretch to think, well, you know, let's call it something grandiose. Let's call it the World Series. And I think, guys, I know, you know, this information has come out, but I don't think they're changing the name of the World Series. No. Right?
There was a famous moment in baseball.
Far down the road.
Yeah.
There was a famous moment in baseball. It's called the shot that was heard around the world. You think, well, it wasn't really. Yeah. It was only heard in America.
See, yeah. Andy's adding fuel to the fire. Now, we got a bit of audio for you. This was poor old Daniel Jones, who plays for the Giants, has gone viral today, and he's destined to end up on lots and lots of compilations of kind of mad moments from the world of sport. We maybe should explain it before we play you the moment, but he was about to get a home run, wasn't he? He was there. He was just yards away from the end zone, and he just fell over his own feet, Todd.
He did. Yeah, it's the longest run by a quarterback in the last 40 years that didn't result in a touchdown. And you're right. It is as simple as he tripped over his own 2 feet.
Yeah. Let's hear the moment as it happened.
We did pretty good against him then.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips. Going to the end zone and ends up carrying it as it is for 80. But a walk-in touchdown, and he tripped himself.
They did finish the drive and get a touchdown.
I've seen worse than that. I've seen blokes drop it over the line. Actually, you know, drop it on the line, and so not, you know, obviously they cross the line. It's a touchdown.
It kind of starts to run into the ground. It's very weird. But they did lose the game, the Giants.
They did. They had an 11-point lead with about 5 minutes left, and ended up losing the game. Not because of him, more because of their defense. But the people most upset with that play. Or if you had Daniel Jones in fantasy football, because you missed out on 6 points if he had scored the touchdown.
Oh, it sounds like you did, Tony. You sound pretty.
No,
you know
what I did. That's you. But that's how you watch sports now, right? Yeah. If you're in fantasy, it's like, oh my gosh.
I thought the most amazing thing of the NFL weekend was Washington. Basically, last play of the game, they were down and they got it to 20-19. So if they hit the extra point, it would have gone to overtime. And the coach decided to go for a 2-point play, which meant they'd win it. But of course, if they didn't get it, they'd lose. And they didn't get it. So was a pretty mad play, I thought.
Bad move, too. You always take the tie and go into overtime. I don't know why. Yeah, it just with that, it's too risky. Right, you give yourself a chance if you get the tie, and then you go into overtime.
Yeah.
Whatever, he's a coach, I'm not.
No, I agree.
Tom, very quickly, a photographer is suing a bull. It's the owners of the bull. It's a mascot for the Texas Longhorns.
Oh, it's an actual bull. I thought it was a bull costume.
No, it's a bull.
Really?
There's this whole question about using kind of live animal mascots, which is very questionable anyway, but these days. But yeah, this Longhorn steer butted the photographer when he was taking some pictures, and he's claiming it caused him back issues and real problems, and he's now suing them and presented the medical bills, $24,000 of medical bills to them.
Yeah, I got to like his case. I agree 100%. Like, you know, they always talk about actors don't work with kids and animals. And listen, if you're going to put a live animal, a bull, on the field as your mascot, you better be 100% sure it doesn't do anything like this. And, you know, I like his chances of winning.
I'd love to see the bull in the court if he questions it. That would be fantastic. It'd be like that old one.
$24,000 of medical bills in America. It's only that's like one night stay, isn't
ingrowing
it?
Ingrowing toenails.
Yes.
That's probably going in to have your temperature taken. Cheers, Todd. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks very much.
See you, boy.
Stanford once took me out of the bridge.
You should have got a Batesy would have knocked you back. He wouldn't have given you any money. Should have got out of his way. He would have said, you're getting his way off. Go and clear off. With your $24,000 medical bills.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, there's an awful lot of sport on TV this weekend, but that doesn't mean you may decide to have a break.
You need a bit of relief.
You need a bit of relief now and again. And there is some pretty decent non-sporting telly as well. And as always, this time on a Friday, here to talk us through it is Brighton supporting TV reviewer for The Star, Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Afternoon, guys.
What did you make of the derby last week then? Are you happy with the one? I suppose you're a bit of a smash and grab, wasn't it?
It really, was a bit of a smash and grab, a deflection. I like a deflection. There's something quite satisfying about a late equaliser that is also a deflection. I don't know why.
Especially against them, of course. You would argue. Yeah, of course. We've got.
If we don't like your reviews today, we're going to get Lewis Dunk to see one of the challenges.
I will defend that challenge. That's what he does in our penalty box normally. Yeah. Just realise that that's probably not what you meant to do in that context.
Gogglebox is great fun. It's another celebrity special for Stand Up for Cancer.
Good lineup. You've got David Mitchell and his wife, Victoria Coren Mitchell. We've got the Line of Duty people who started. They resumed filming in Belfast, I think, for Line of Duty. So you've got Adrian Dunbar and. Martin Cobston and Vicky McClure, so I'm guessing it's quite easy for them to be together. It's the only thing I'd say about the celebrity version is I sometimes think that the joy of the original Gogglebox, especially when people are fairly new to it, is that they can sort of say what they like. Whereas if you work in the business, I think there's always a part of you that's thinking, oh, if I say that about, you know, so people kind of hedging their bets a wee bit and sort of holding back sometimes. So you possibly don't get it as funny, but it's still interesting because it's that person, you know, talking about it. So what they're talking about, Nigella Lawson, her programme, her new series. Yeah. I mean, that's an easy target. That's fish in a barrel, isn't it?
I would think so. £1 million cube they're looking at as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Family Fortunes, rather interesting.
Family Fortunes, yeah, because it's what's his name? It's Gino DeCampo does it these days.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. And the Andrew Marr Show, top of my list.
It's a funny fit, though, isn't it? Gino DeCampo.
It is.
He's a chef.
Got a good agent. Maybe one of the people that will say that on the sofa tonight. I'm going to get Gino's agent. He's working wonders. Now, Graham Norton tonight has got.
I think it's been good, the new series. Really good.
Bruce and it's a good lineup tonight. Bruce Springsteen has got another. He's 71, Bruce. I'm obsessed with people's ages at the moment. Happy birthday, Pelé, by the way. He's got his new album out today.
Pelé?
Yeah, Pelé's new album.
Yes.
It's a corker.
Yeah.
Letter to You is Bruce's. I don't know what Pelé's is called. And he's got a film.
Letter to You.
Sorry, what?
It's a joke.
It's a lot of H's. When Pelé speaks, there's a lot of H's in it.
Oh, okay.
Brazilian, Portuguese.
That would work then.
Lily James. Lily James. I wonder what line of questioning we're going to get there.
I know.
She was apparently on... Was she on the Jimmy Fallon
show? I'll try and have a smug look on my face while she's on.
And didn't say much. But, yeah, okay.
Yeah, she's in this new interpretation of Rebecca, which is started on which came onto Netflix on Wednesday, I think. So I should be talking about that.
You've given us a bit of froth there with Gogglebox and Graham Norton, but what if you fancy a show about the 70s in Germany with German subtitles?
German subtitles is very much my thing. Actually, I've realised it's taken me many, many years to realise I do quite like a subtitle show because you feel
intelligent, doesn't it?
I sort of feel intelligent, but also I can't be distracted because if I sort of look away or, you know...
Can't be looking at your phone, can you?
You can't do the looking at the phone, so you have to do it. And also, do you know what? Sometimes when I watch things on Netflix, I put the subtitles on it, so I concentrate more because I read and I follow up because people do mumble a bit.
It's a
I know
good discipline.
Yeah, it's true.
It makes me concentrate, and by the end of an episode with subtitles, it's slightly harder work, but I feel like I'm more into it.
I don't get that mumbling thing. I know people have talked about it over the years. Well, I don't because you how often, not that often, but occasionally, you know, when you get one, it's a key part of the plot, and you play it back, you go back, you try and hear it, and you think surely the director couldn't hear it either. No. I suppose they had the script in front of them.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant you didn't get one. People complaining.
No, I couldn't get what you can't hear it.
You need the mic. You need mic.
I might try your method.
Amazing how, I mean, when you watch a program, it's amazing how one little line or even just something that flashes up on the screen, like 5 years later, sometimes you watch a drama and the action fast forward 5 years. And if you just looked away at that moment, you sort of blinked or picked up a cup of tea and so you've not realised that it's moved forward. You know, you have to concentrate on these things.
It's called The Same Sky, set in East Germany.
Sorry, yes.
You say you're half expecting David Bowie to wander in.
Yeah.
station era.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, very much. 70s Berlin, and it's basically about East German Stasi, the secret police, coming up with a plot to get secrets from the West, which is basically sending young Stasi officers to seduce Western spy,
blimey,
female spies.
Strictly's back Saturday evening, first live show.
Yes.
And
giving us the betting.
I've given you the betting.
Maisie Smith, she's been getting a lot of traction, hasn't she, from Easties? She's she's favourite.
She is favourite. That's
Bill Bailey, 50-1.
That's ridiculous. I was reading about Bill Bailey this morning. He's got a dance sort of training.
He's musical, of course, isn't he?
Yeah, he's musical. I think that's a ridiculous odds.
Well, he was 60-61. I suspect, I mean, he's not going to go anytime soon, is he? Let's be honest. Even if he's just funny, he'll stay. But I suspect he'll be a bit like Debbie McGee in a strange way. He'll surprise us.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Okay, so we'll watch that 7:25. It goes on for about 2.5 hours.
Easily.
I mean, at this stage, he lose the will to live. On Sunday, a couple of things. You've got another Piers Morgan life story, is this
Sir
right?
Cliff, yeah. It was Cliff's 80th birthday. Oh, we talked about that. So Cliff Richard is the first person to talk to Piers for this news. And basically, he's talking about, obviously, the big scandal when his apartment was raided.
He has talked about that before. Though.
And he's talking about how he got through that and the effect that had on him. And also, he talks about how he dealt with being bullied at school. And it turns out he's boasting about what a great fighter he was and he never lost a fight.
Wow. He doesn't look hard, Cliff.
No.
You never know.
He's fit, though.
Yeah. Finally, the Michael Palin Travels of a Lifetime, last in the series, an absolutely brilliant series.
Absolutely.
I think they're all on the iPlayer.
They're
and he
the
really
iPlayer,
brought them to life because he kept diaries and tapes and he remembers so much of it. And it's a sensational show. And for those that didn't see it the first time around, I don't think that matters because it really works very well.
It makes you want to pick up with the originals again. Yeah. And he's kept all the diaries and notes. And it's brilliant. And he tells the story so well.
BBC Two, 8 p.m. Highly recommended. Thank you, Mike. Have a good weekend.
And you. Cheers, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That's this afternoon's show. We've got Matt Ford joining us next week. He'll be telling us a bit about Spitting Image and how that's going. Talking a bit of Forest. Alan Brazil. Tough booking. He'll be joining us. And also Geraint Thomas in the World of Cycling.
He turns up, to be honest.
It's on the phone, he'll turn up. He's got a book to sell. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Anyway, that's all happening. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Score a bank account boosting 5K in cash simply by identifying Trevor Sinclair's former teammate from the following clues.
He played for Chelsea and West Ham. He won over 100 international caps. He scored a goal that wasn't a goal for England in South Africa.
Text WIN and your answer to 63320. Text costs £2 plus normal sending charge. Entries close 6 p.m. Friday, October 23rd. 18 plus. Please gamble responsibly. See talksport.com/competitions for terms and conditions.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.